In that chapter, which is the chapter that has all the holidays in it. We've talked about it. We've read from it throughout Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and now Sukkot. Now, last night I talked about the idea of on Sukkot, and there's a couple of different themes of the holiday. Last night I talked about Sukkot and the idea of indwelling, how God dwells in us as well as with us, and that he will dwell again over all the earth. And we will all celebrate Sukkot in the future. And that's a prophetic promise from God. And we know God is in the business of keeping his promises. So God pours life into us. He indwells in us. And tonight, or today, I want to talk about Sukkot from the perspective of how God pours out. So he pours in, but he also pours out to us. He's a loving God, and he wants to pour out his love. We sang that. Pour out your, love to us, Lord. And the holiday, Sukkot, is all about God pouring out. He's pouring out the harvest blessings. You know, this is a time at the end of the harvest season where people are reaping everything that they've sown all season long. So it's all about reaping the harvest, reaping blessings. God pouring out life. God pouring out blessings to you and me. And God pouring out his salvation to us, which he freely gives us through Messiah Yeshua. And he wants us then to pour out our praise, again, as we sang, to pour out our praise and our worship back to him and others. This outpouring should be a natural flowing out in our lives as believers. Now turn with me to Leviticus 23. We'll begin with this scripture. Leviticus 23, 33 and 34. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days, is the Feast of Booths to the Lord." Now, last night I talked about booths. The word in Hebrew is sukkah. The word means to habitate or to dwell. And we talked all about the sukkah. We talked about how God dwells in us. But Sukkot, this 15th day of the seventh month, just a few days after Yom Kippur and then Rosh Hashanah, it's the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, and it always seems to occur. It always falls in either September, sometimes when it's a little early, or like we're in now, in early October, sometime in October. So September-October time frame. And it always coincides with the end of the fall harvest season. So again, this is a harvest holiday. This is... In ancient Israel, you had pretty much the entire population that were agricultural. They were farmers. So everything in their lives, all of their livelihood, was wrapped up in the season of sowing the crops and then reaping it at Sukkot, at this time frame. And because of this, Sukkot is a very joyous and festive holiday, right? Who wouldn't be happy when you got your crops that came in, when you got that harvest that you were waiting for all year long? Sometimes Sukkot is referred to as the Jewish Thanksgiving, right? Have you ever heard that before? The Jewish Thanksgiving. And it is said that the Puritans, who basically founded America, were one of the founding peoples that came to America, of course, escaping religious persecution in Europe, they came to America. And it's said that they celebrated Sukkot when they had that little feast. Remember that feast with the Native Americans, which we call Thanksgiving, and when we give thanks? Because again, this holiday is all about giving thanks, rejoicing, and giving thanks to the Lord because he is good. Now, on this holiday, as we sang a little bit, we're going to sing a little later, and I mentioned we say and sing and chant the Hallel Psalms. These are the Psalms from 113 to 118 in the book of Psalms. Hallel means praise. And if you turn with me to Psalm 118, verse 1, we have this kind of memorized. It's kind of on our hearts and our minds. We sing it a lot, but we need to remember it at these times of the year. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, God has a love for us that's steadfast, that's sure, that's steady, and that is abounding. So we can give thanks to him because he always comes through. He always provides. He always gives us that reaping of that blessing, that harvesting. The Puritans knew that. Ancient Israel knew that. They knew that God was the source of all blessings. They knew that He was good. And it's only because of Him that they were able to reap that harvest. They knew that it wasn't their hands that did it. There wasn't their minds and their understanding and their effort. Of course, that was all part of it. But they knew ultimately that God was the source of all of their blessings. And it's only because of Him that they could reap that harvest. When Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, God provided manna for them. Manna literally dropped from heaven. God provided quail, you know, protein, so it came down from the sky for them. And God miraculously provided water pouring out of a rock. That doesn't happen too often, right? Supernaturally, for 40 years, they would not have survived in the desert without these things. They would not have survived unless God provided for them. And thus God was the source of all food and sustenance for them. And of course, we know that the soles of their shoes didn't wear out. And God gave them purpose, and God gave them blessings. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. At the end of the 40-year journey, at the end of the Exodus experience, right? They're on the threshold of going into the promised land. They're ready to receive all the blessings that God has. They're ready to reap the harvest of what's been sown for 40 years, right? And God says this through Moses. Moses is basically in Deuteronomy reminding them. It's a repetition of the law. It's telling them all the things to remember before they go in the land. But here's what God reminds them of in Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord has been with you. You have lacked nothing. This is what God has done. Today, you and me, all that we have, all that we've achieved, is only possible because God has provided for us. Amen. That's the first point this morning, is God pours out life and blessings to us. We have to know that it's God that does it. We may say, and there's a scripture, you may say the work of your hands and you know all that, you know that scripture. It's not. It's because of the Lord. It's only because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. God has given us the strength to get up and do these things. He's given us the wisdom, the understanding, the education, all the things that we need to accomplish the things that we need to do in this life. But it's all because of Him. Now turn with me to Numbers 6, verses 24 to 27. When we look at this blessing, the Aaronic blessing that we say every single week to close our service, we're reminded that God is the one who blesses, that God is the one that provides. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. This is a blessing. This is the blessing. God is a generous, gracious God who provides and pours out life and blessings to you and I. We can't forget that, especially at this time. Now, during Sukkot, it was very customary to thank God for the harvest that you were reaping. And there was a ritual that was done that I want to talk about for a couple of minutes this morning. And it was done around the Second Temple time frame. So this is the time when Yeshua was alive, when Yeshua was ministering on the earth. So this is documented in the Talmud, which is old ancient Jewish writings. And it talks about this particular ritual. Here's how it would go. The temple priest in Jerusalem would take a pitcher, you know, a pitcher of water, an empty pitcher of water. And he would go down to the Pool of Siloam. Now, the Pool of Siloam was right outside the old city. It was southeast of the old city of Jerusalem, so southeast of the temple, which, you know, the temple was right there. And it was this rock-cut pool. So it was this pool outside of the old city. The priest would go down, and he would fill the water pitcher up in the pool, and then he would take it back to the temple. Now, as he's doing this, and this is all happening during Sukkot, as he's doing this, crowds of people would follow the priest, and they will be dancing, and they will be singing the Hallel Psalms, which we just talked about. And for the first 6 days of this holiday, as they're dancing and singing, and they bring the water back to the temple, they would go to the altar. You know, the altar is out in the court, in the temple area. And once a day, for the first 6 days, they would dance around the altar. There would be this huge processional, dancing, singing, joyous time. And they would sing the Hallel Psalms. And then on the seventh day, the last day, the great day of the feast, called Hoshana Rabbah, this is the seventh and last day, they would go in, just as they did the first 6 days, and they would encircle the altar in this processional seven times, not just once. Kind of sounds like Jericho, right? And they went and they circled this thing around and they would be singing and dancing. And it talks about in the Talmud how there's such great joy that you didn't know joy until you experienced this ritual. This is what it says. And as they sing and they dance, the rabbis say, the scripture that's used is, and turn with me there, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Interestingly enough, this is what the rabbis say. This is from the Talmud, okay? This is not a messianic thing. This is a traditional Jewish thing. The priest would come in, pour water on the altar as everybody's singing and dancing around him. And this is the reference, Isaiah 12, 3. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This is the scripture. The ritual is called Simchat Bet HaShoevah, rejoicing of the house of drawing water. And it said, this was an ancient ritual practiced in the Second Temple times. Now, with that said, turn with me to John chapter 7. There's a couple of times in the gospel accounts when Yeshua is celebrating Sukkot, because of course he celebrated Sukkot like all the Jewish people did. And we know Sukkot was one of the Shalosh Regalim, the pilgrimage feasts. All Jewish people from all over the world were coming in. They were coming in from Greece. They were coming in from the Far East. They were coming in from Rome. They were coming in from all these places, Asia Minor, Turkey area. They were coming into Jerusalem to celebrate. And Yeshua says he comes, and in John 7, I'm going to read verses 37 and 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Hoshana Rabbah, Yeshua stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Amen. So we see here in this scripture the fulfillment 2,000 years ago by Yeshua of this water ritual. Yeshua's name actually means salvation. He's talking about the water. We read in Isaiah 12:3, the water of salvation. We put all this together and we see our second point this morning. God pours out salvation in Yeshua, the Messiah. He pours out life and blessings to you and I. That's why we can just live, move, breathe around, do our thing. But he, even more than that, pours out salvation to us. Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. Just as the water was poured out on the altar during the ritual, the altar where the offerings were given, Yeshua was poured out as an offering to you and I for salvation. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. There's many scriptures that talk about how Yeshua pours out salvation to us, how Yeshua is that offering as was done on the altar with the water, pouring out the water. Hebrews 10:10. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua the Messiah once for all. He has poured out his life once for all for us. Now turn with me to John chapter 4. When Yeshua goes down to a well, he meets a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Right? Samaritans, you know, Samaritans and Jewish people, they're kind of neighbors. And the Samaritan woman comes to draw water at the well. And she was there, and Yeshua happened to be there. And this is what Yeshua says to her, John 4, 13 and 14. Yeshua said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," meaning the well that she's pulling from, drawing from, "will be thirsty again." 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is Yeshua and what he does for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Because of Yeshua pouring out his life for us, because of Yeshua pouring out salvation to us, we have scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua for you. And that brings us to our last point, point three today. Our lives should then be an outpouring of praise to God. You know, he's been so generous to give us the blessing of life, the blessing of going out and being able to work and earn a living and live our lives, support our families. He's poured out the blessing of salvation. We see this time and again, and there's many other scriptures that talk about water, living water, welling up to eternal life. Yeshua pours out salvation to us, and now our lives should be an outpouring of love and praise to God. We should be so thankful. We should be so filled up that we just pour out our blessing and our praise to God. Now, having said that, I'm going to shift over here. Because we get to the holiday. We get to what we call the four species. Arba Minim. And I want to take a look. If you have your lulavs and etrogs today, if you have your four species, you can get them out. And we're going to be talking about them now because this all ties in. The outpouring that God has given us, we now can pour out to him. And we do this through Sukkot. We do this, and this is a traditional Jewish thing. You can find this all over the spectrum in the Jewish world. The lulav and the etrog. Jewish people are waving it to the Lord. We're waving it to the Lord today, Jew and Gentile here, with an outpouring of praise to him. Now, the different parts. You have four different parts. And the first one is the lulav, which is the palm branch, the spine, we call it. And it's stiff, and it looks like a human spine. This represents to us doing things in our life. Now you have the willow. And the willow is, if you look at it, the willow should be on the left here. And it's actually the longer of the two. The willow, if you turn it sideways, it actually looks like a pair of lips. The arava. It looks like human lips, and this represents speaking in our lives. Then you have on the right what we call the myrtle or hadas. And if you turn that and look at it, it's a little smaller, and it looks like a human eye. And this represents seeing in our lives. And then, of course, we have the very sweet and nice etrog, the citrus, grown in the Mediterranean region. And it is shaped like, sort of like the shape and size of a human heart, if you think about your heart and how that is sized. And this, the citrus or the etrog, represents knowing. So the four parts, as we call it, or the four species, represent a complete person to us. It represents us. And the idea here is as we wave this with our whole being, with everything of us, we worship and praise the Lord. Our lives, just like the lulav and etrog, should be a wave offering to the Lord. In all of our lives, in our doing, in our speaking, in our seeing, in our knowing, with every part of us, we should give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Psalm 118:1. On Sukkot, we read, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So at this point, let's have the musicians come up. We're going to sing. And we're going to wave the lulav. So if you have your lulav, you're welcome to wave with us. Everybody, let's have everybody stand this morning during this joyous time. We're going to wave these offerings before the Lord. Leviticus 23, verse 40 says this, and you shall take on the first day, that's today, the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. This is the time to rejoice. This is the time to thank God. This is the time to pour out our praise to him. Amen. We have a couple of blessings to do, and then we will sing, and we will do the waving. And the first blessing is the blessing for the lulav. And at this point, you know, we're holding the two things in our hands. They're separated. And we say together, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav vitzivanu al nitilat lulav. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to take up the lulav. And then the second blessing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, shehechianu v'kimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season so that we can pour out our praise to Him. Now we put all of these together, and as they play Hodu Adonai Ki Tov, and as we sing to the Lord, we wave. And we don't just wave in one direction or the other. Traditionally, we wave in front of us. We wave to the side, both sides. We wave up to heaven. We wave back, and we wave down. We wave in six directions, representing all over. And one day, we know prophetically that His praise will go out all over the world. And all the earth, as we sang, will shout His praise. Amen? So let's sing Hodu L'Adonai Ki Tov. And let's wave. We wave three times in each direction. You hold it out and then you bring it to your heart three times as you go in the different six directions. Let's wave it unto the Lord today. Hodu L'Adonai Ki Tov. Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's end our service today for Sukkot with that special blessing we talked about from Numbers chapter 6. And may God